Right now, there are millions of people waking up with just sharp lower back pain, and they are entirely convinced they just slept in a bad posture.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone blames their sleeping position.
Right. But in reality, their pain probably has nothing to do with their posture and absolutely everything to do with a 0.2-second delay in the chemical response of their mattress foam.
Yeah, that fraction of a second is everything.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because we spend a massive portion of our existence unconscious on a padded rectangle, you
Yeah.
know. And picking that surface is usually this high-stakes, incredibly expensive guessing game.
Oh, it's the worst.
You lie down in a brightly lit showroom. You've still got your shoes on for like 3 minutes, and somehow you're expected to know if that specific block of material will properly support your lumbar spine for the next decade.
It is an absurd way to make a decision about, well, the entire foundation of your physical recovery. I mean, your cognitive reset, your immune system maintenance. That showroom trial tells you almost nothing about the thermodynamics or the kinetic response of the bed you're actually buying.
Which is exactly why our mission for this deep dive is to just bypass the showroom entirely. We are unpacking a massive stack of data, material breakdowns, and structural specs surrounding a very specific piece of sleep tech.
The puffy cloud mattress.
Exactly. So whether you are constantly waking up with mysterious joint aches, or you're just trying to survive a hot summer night without, waking up drenched in sweat, understanding the actual mechanics behind modern sleep engineering is crucial to reclaiming your waking energy.
Yeah, and to really understand the engineering of this particular mattress, we have to look at the historical baggage it's trying to overcome. Because we are analyzing a 10-inch all-foam structure.
Right.
And historically, the all-foam category has been plagued by one massive fundamental flaw, which is heat
The
retention.
notorious baked potato
The
effect.
baked potato effect, exactly.
Because sleeping on a dense block of traditional memory foam, it feels incredibly luxurious for like the first 20 minutes.
Oh, it's great at first.
Right, but then you wake up at 2 a.m. feeling like you are wrapped in thermal foil.
Well, that thermal trap happens because of the chemical structure of traditional memory foam. I mean, it is essentially a dense matrix of polyurethane,
Okay.
and it relies heavily on your ambient body heat to soften the material and contour to your physical shape. But because that foam matrix is so remarkably dense, the heat you transfer into it has absolutely nowhere to escape.
Just sits there.
It gets trapped in the foam cells directly beneath you, radiating that thermal energy right back into your skin.
So it creates this closed, escalating thermal loop. Like you heat the bed heats you, and eventually your body has to trigger a sweat response to cool down,
Yeah.
which completely ruins your sleep cycle.
That is the exact physiological chain reaction. So to
Oh.
break that loop, the engineering here utilizes a three-pronged intervention, and at the core of this cooling system is a 2-inch layer of gel-infused memory foam.
Okay, wait, because we hear gel-infused tossed around as marketing jargon all the time.
Foam constantly.
Right. But is gel-infused foam actually a game changer or just a fancy buzzword? I mean, how do these gel beads physically stop you from overheating?
What's fascinating here is that physically, what we're talking about are microscopic phase change materials embedded directly into the polyurethane matrix.
So the gel is functioning less like a static ice pack and more like an active thermal exhaust pipe. It's chemically altering the thermal conductivity of the foam itself.
Precisely. These microscopic gel capsules act as thermal sinks. So when your body heat transfers into the mattress, instead of that heat getting trapped in the polyurethane, the gel beads absorb the thermal energy.
Wow.
Yeah, they actually draw the heat away from your skin, dispersing it outward through the horizontal plane of the mattress.
But eventually, I mean, even a thermal sink reaches capacity, right? If
Yeah.
those gel beads absorb all that heat, it still has to go somewhere, or else you're just delaying the baked potato effect by an hour or two.
Which brings us to the second prong, the climate fiber layer. Sitting just beneath the surface, this is essentially a heat-resistant felt.
Oh, okay.
If the gel beads are the thermal extractors pulling the heat down, the climate fiber acts as the ventilation shaft. It creates a highly breathable, porous buffer zone that allows that dispersed thermal energy to actually escape the architecture of the mattress entirely.
Oh, that makes sense. And
Oh.
then capping all of that off is the CoolTouch Cloud Cover, right? Which is constructed with moisture-wicking yarns.
Yes, exactly.
It sounds very much like the high-performance athletic wear you'd use for a marathon.
It's the same principle.
It's not magic, it's just utilizing capillary action. So if your body does start to produce microscopic amounts of a sweat, those specific yarns pull the moisture away from your skin to the surface of the fabric where it can evaporate rapidly, you know, creating a natural cooling effect.
It's a really sophisticated way of solving the core contradiction of modern mattress design. Consumers desperately want that deep all-foam contouring that relieves joint pressure.
Right, that cloud feeling.
Exactly, but they cannot physiologically tolerate the night sweats that usually accompany it. So this three-tier system engineers a way to get the mechanical hug of the foam without the thermal trap.
But once you manage to draw the heat away from the body, you are immediately faced with a totally different structural physics problem. Because how do you keep a 10-inch slab of foam from collapsing under human weight while still claiming to feel like a cloud?
Well, support and softness are constantly at war in sleep tech. If a surface is too soft, your spine bows. If it's too firm, your joints take the brunt of the impact.
So looking at the structural breakdown here, this architecture tackles that war using six distinct layers.
Right.
The foundational heavy lifter is a 6-inch high-density firm core support foam. And sitting above that is a 2-inch cloud comfort pressure relief foam designed specifically for spinal alignment.
Yes.
Overall, the structural firmness is rated right down the middle, a 5 out of 10, medium firm. But the data specifically notes this model features deeper than average sinkage.
That's a key phrase.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because this is where I start to get skeptical. If a mattress has deep sinkage, aren't you going to feel completely trapped when you try to roll over in your sleep? I mean, it sounds less like a cloud and more like quicksand.
That exact fear is why the kinetic response rate of the foam is the single most critical metric in this entire deep dive. The data shows this specific foam takes 0.2 seconds to mostly recover its shape when you move.
0.2.
And 0.8 seconds to completely return to flat. Those fractions of a second are doing an immense amount of heavy lifting in the actual physiological experience of sleep.
Yeah, I imagine a slow recovery time is just devastating for deep sleep. Like if you sink into old school cheap memory foam, it molds to you perfectly.
Sure.
But the moment you naturally try to shift positions, the foam stays compressed.
Yeah.
You literally have to roll uphill out of your own indentation.
Exactly.
That requires actual conscious muscular effort.
And that muscular effort forces your brain to pull you out of REM sleep. You are waking yourself up dynamically just to change positions. It completely fragments your sleep architecture over the course of 8 hours.
So a 0.8 second full recovery time changes the entire kinetic physics of the bed.
Entirely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's about active pressure distribution rather than just passive sinking.
Ah, active versus passive.
Because this is engineered as a rapid response foam, it bounces back almost instantaneously. In 0.2 seconds, it has already filled the void you're leaving. In 0.8 seconds, the surface is completely reset.
Wow.
This means your heavier body parts, like your hips and shoulders, can sink deeply enough to relieve the intense pressure on those specific joints. But the microsecond you shift your center of gravity, the foam pushes back up to meet your new posture.
So it provides the joint contouring of quicksand, but with the kinetic assistance of a trampoline.
Yeah.
You never get stuck.
That kinetic assistance is what prevents the feeling of being trapped. But it is also why this specific 10-inch medium firm architecture with deep sinkage is a highly polarizing precision tool.
Oh, absolutely.
It totally dictates who will thrive on this surface and who is going to have just a miserable experience.
The biomechanics here are fascinating because a highly engineered product is almost never a universal one-size-fits-all solution, right? The sleeper profiles for this mattress draw a very hard line.
Very hard.
It is highly recommended almost exclusively for side sleepers and back sleepers who weigh under 250 pounds, plus kids.
Right.
But it is actively flagged as a liability for stomach sleepers and heavier individuals over 250 pounds.
Think about the pure geometry of a side sleeper's skeletal structure. When you lie on your side, your shoulders and your hips protrude significantly further out than your waist.
Yeah.
If you sleep on a firm, rigid, unyielding surface, your shoulders and hips are bearing 100% of your body weight, and your mid-spine is left hovering, eventually sagging downward.
Right. You need that deeper than average sinkage to essentially swallow your shoulders and hips so your spine can remain perfectly parallel to the floor.
Exactly. But if you take that exact same deep sinkage and apply it to a stomach sleeper, the biomechanics invert. It becomes a total disaster.
I imagine if you're on your stomach and your heavy hips sink deeply into the mattress, your lower back is forced into a severe U-shape.
Yes.
You are completely hyperextending the lumbar region. No wonder people wake up stiff.
You are bowing the spine backward for 8 continuous hours, and because your torso is sinking deeply into the foam, you have to crane your neck even higher just to clear the mattress and breathe.
Oh, yeah.
Which introduces severe cervical neck pain. Stomach sleepers fundamentally require a rigid plane to keep their skeletal structure flat and neutral.
And for sleepers over 250 pounds, I assume that 10-inch profile becomes the primary liability. Because if you compress those top comfort layers entirely, you're essentially bottoming out against that high-density core.
You nullify all the pressure relief. The foam simply does not have enough structural depth to properly decelerate a heavier mass before hitting the firm foundation.
Right.
And over time, that concentrated compression will also cause a 10-inch foam mattress to degrade and sag prematurely. Heavier sleepers almost universally require a thicker profile with massive structural resistance, typically a hybrid model utilizing tempered steel coils.
But even if two sleepers fall perfectly into the ideal weight and posture categories, sharing a foam mattress introduces a totally new kinetic variable, which is energy transfer.
Oh, yes.
Every time one person shifts, adjusts, or gets out of bed, that kinetic energy has to go somewhere.
And this is where the dense cellular structure of the polyurethane matrix becomes a massive advantage. If you are sleeping on traditional connected steel springs, that kinetic energy ripples across the metal framework like a wave, disturbing your partner.
The classic wine glass test.
Exactly. But dense foam acts as a kinetic shock absorber. It dissipates the energy locally, preventing it from traveling across the horizontal plane. It offers superior motion isolation and operates completely silently.
Though, it is worth noting that while motion isolation is great for sleeping, the lack of kinetic pushback has other trade-offs.
Right.
The data explicitly points out that the moderate bounce of this foam might be a noticeable drawback for sexually active couples, because they generally rely on the rhythm and energetic return of an inner spring or hybrid mattress. It absorbs energy almost too well in that scenario.
It is the inherent compromise of all foam engineering. You trade energetic pushback for pressure relief and silence.
But what if the compromise is physiological? Let's say you're part of a couple with totally opposite needs, right?
Okay.
If you're a side sleeper who desperately needs a cloud, but your partner is a stomach sleeper who needs a firm board,
yeah.
Does someone just have to suffer? Because for decades, the answer was just to buy a medium mattress so both people could suffer equally.
A true lose-lose situation.
Exactly.
Well, this raises an important question about sleep tech today. That dynamic is exactly why the logistical solution of a split king setup has become so prominent.
Oh, the split king. So instead of forcing a physical compromise on a single continuous surface, you completely decouple the sleepers because you're utilizing two independent 38 by 80 inch mattresses pushed seamlessly together to form a 76 by 80 inch bed.
You eliminate the need for physical compromise entirely. One partner can have the deep sinkage foam, the other can have ultra-firm steel coils. But more importantly, when paired with independent adjustable bases, it allows for targeted physiological interventions.
Right. So if you suffer from acid reflux or GERD, you need your torso elevated to use gravity against stomach acid. But if your partner is a stomach sleeper, elevating the head of the bed would physically break their back.
With a split setup, you can elevate your upper body into a zero-gravity posture to open your airways and reduce snoring, while your partner remains perfectly flat on their stomach. The technology finally allows for personalized, medical-grade sleep positioning without exiling someone to the guest room.
Which perfectly bridges us to the logistics and the fine print of actually bringing this specific technology into your home.
Yeah, the real world.
Because assuming you fit the physical profile, you sleep hot, you sleep on your side, you need motion isolation, we have to look at buying and unboxing it. The baseline cost here is $4,849 for a twin.
It's an investment.
It's a premium price tag for an all-foam bed in a box that you have to set up yourself. There's free shipping to all 50 states, but no white-glove delivery team hauling away your old mattress.
Right. DIY setup. It arrives compressed, tightly vacuum-sealed, and rolled up. And when you breach that plastic seal, you are immediately confronted with the most common hurdle of bed-in-a-box logistics, the off-gassing.
The chemical smell. Now, the data highlights something that really made me pause. The odor from this specific mattress can take up to 16 days to fully dissipate.
Yeah, that's a long time.
The industry average is usually closer to 7 days. 16 days is over 2 weeks of sleeping on a smelly mattress, like a new car smell that overstays its welcome. If it smells that strong for that long, is it actually safe to breathe in? And honestly, why not just buy one of the alternatives mentioned? Like the Lisa Original or Nola Signature 12.
It's a critical question, and we have to separate sensory annoyance from actual toxicological danger. The smell you are experiencing is the release of volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. But this is where the CertiPure US certification data comes in.
Okay, because when I see a label like CertiPure US, I generally assume it's just a marketing badge designed to make me feel better.
A lot of people do.
But it actually indicates an objective third-party testing threshold,
yeah.
Right?
It is a rigorous scientific standard. It means an independent laboratory has tested the foam at a molecular level and verified it's manufactured without ozone depleters, PBDE flame retardants, formaldehyde, and heavy metals like mercury or lead. It's hypoallergenic and stain resistant.
Wow.
So the off-gassing smell is a harmless byproduct of the chemical reaction used to pour fresh polyurethane. Because the mattress is poured, immediately compressed, and hermetically sealed in heavy plastic, those harmless manufacturing odors are trapped inside the matrix.
So the moment you puncture the vacuum seal, 2 weeks of trapped air releases into your bedroom.
Yeah.
Is incredibly annoying, but it's not chemically toxic.
Right. It impacts your sensory environment, not your cellular health.
Yeah.
However, 16 days is undeniably on the extreme end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
The heavy density of the foam and the specific gel infusions likely contribute to that prolonged release. If you have a highly sensitive olfactory system, if smells easily trigger migraines for you, this is a massive red flag.
Which is why looking at alternatives like the Lease Original or the Nola Signature 12 makes total sense if you cannot tolerate a two-week transition period. The Lisa uses a different foam chemistry tailored for lightweight sleepers, and the Nola incorporates some proprietary polyfoams that off-gas much faster. So the 16 days of odor is basically the sensory toll you pay to access this specific gel infusion technology.
But the company attempts to offset that initial sensory hurdle through the economics of their guarantees, like the 101-night trial period and the lifetime warranty.
I always find mattress trials fascinating from a biological perspective.
Sure.
Why 101 nights? It's not just arbitrary generosity, is it? It actually takes the human skeletal and muscular system about 30 to 45 days to break its established muscle memory.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if you've been sleeping on a terrible sagging bed for 5 years, your muscles have literally learned to hold tension in specific ways just to keep your spine supported.
Your body is actively fighting the old mattress. When you transition to a surface that finally provides proper support, your muscles don't immediately relax. They continue to hold that defensive tension.
That makes so much sense.
It can actually cause acute soreness for the first few weeks as your body unlearns its terrible posture. So a 100-plus night trial allows your physiology to actually adapt to the new structural reality.
And then there is the lifetime warranty, which specifically guarantees the structural integrity against long-term sagging. That is the ultimate fear with an all-foam investment. Right?
Oh, they definitely.
You drop nearly $2,000, and 5 years later, you're sleeping in a permanent ditch.
Well, the actuarial math behind a lifetime warranty is very revealing. A company cannot afford to offer a lifetime guarantee against sagging unless the structural density of their foundational foam is engineered to practically eliminate that risk. They are betting their profit margins that their 6-inch high-density core will not compress beyond a certain fractional margin over a lifetime of use. It effectively neutralizes the biggest financial risk of buying an all-foam mattress.
So distilling all this down for the listener, the Puffy Cloud is clearly not a generic mattress for the masses. It is a highly specialized, precision-engineered tool. It utilizes phase-change gel materials and climate fibers to completely dismantle the old sweaty foam problem.
Yeah, the cooling tech is a real triumph.
And if you are a side or back sleeper under 250 pounds, that 0.8-second rapid response foam is going to provide massive kinetic assistance and joint pressure relief without trapping you in a ditch. But if your biomechanics require you to sleep on your stomach, or if you're a heavier individual who will bottom out the layers, or if your sensory tolerance cannot handle 2 weeks of intense VOC off-gassing, the underlying physics and chemistry of this product are simply not aligned with your needs. You have to look elsewhere.
You really have to respect the absolute precision of it. It doesn't try to be everything to everyone. It tries to be perfect for a very specific physiological profile, which actually leaves me with a somewhat unsettling thought for you to ponder about the future of all this sleep tech.
Okay, I'm ready.
We are analyzing an environment engineered down to 0.2-second recovery times, specific thermal extraction rates, and moisture-wicking capillary action. It is a perfectly calibrated, personalized microclimate tailored precisely to one individual's mass and shape.
It is the absolute pinnacle of domestic comfort.
It is. But if we acclimate our bodies to spend 365 nights a year, allowing our skeletal structure and thermal regulation to be perfectly effortlessly managed by this advanced thermodynamics and kinetic assistance, are we actively engineering away our natural human adaptability?
Oh, wow. That is a terrifying point. Because our bodies are incredibly efficient at adapting to the support they're given. If your muscles never have to work to maintain alignment because the cloud does all the heavy lifting.
Exactly. You have to wonder how your body will handle sleeping on a standard, unengineered, rigidly generic hotel bed the next time you travel.
Oh, it'll be agonizing.
Right. Now that it's used to a personalized microclimate, by solving the expensive guessing game of absolute comfort in our own homes, we might be calibrating our biology so specifically that we are setting ourselves up to never get a good night's sleep anywhere else.
The ultimate irony of perfecting your sleep environment. You build a cloud you can never leave. That is a brilliant, lingering piece of perspective to wrap up on. The deeper you dive into the mechanics of comfort, the more you realize it's fundamentally about manipulating physics, chemistry, and biology to trick your brain into letting go. The precision is astonishing, but so are the trade-offs. Keep exploring those mechanics, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.